This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett, PhD. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
All right, let's jump into this. We're going to explore the book of Acts, but with a little twist.
Yeah, twist.
Instead of the usual religious angle, we're putting on our secular glasses.
Interesting.
It's like looking at this old text through the lenses of history and morality. Maybe even toss a bit of science in there.
Oh, I like that. A little bit of science, a little bit of history.
So Acts, it's basically a sequel to the Gospel of Luke, right? Picks up after Jesus ascends and chronicles the first Christians.
Right, right. Chronicles the spread of Christianity, all the happenings in those early days.
All the drama, conversions, miracles, even some run-ins with the Roman authorities.
It's quite the story. A real window into the past. To get it, we got to step back into their shoes.
Back in time.
Back into the first century. It was a whole different world back then.
Okay, let's get specific. One thing that pops out in Acts is all the miracles.
Yeah, those are hard to miss.
Like Peter and John healing that lame beggar.
Hmm.
The guy who'd never walked before.
Mm-hmm, right. And then there's Ananias and Sapphira lied about their donation and boom, suddenly dropped dead.
Intense. These stories definitely grab your attention, even today.
For sure, but how do we square those supernatural events with what we know now, you know, with science?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? It's a puzzle scholars have been wrestling with forever.
Forever.
Some say take the accounts literally, like proof of divine intervention.
Mm.
Others think they're more symbolic, representing spiritual truths, maybe exaggerations of real events.
That's interesting, the symbolic interpretation.
Either way, they say a lot about how the early Christians viewed the world.
Absolutely. They saw God in everything. A God who could do miracles, intervene in their lives.
Like every event, big or small, had God's fingerprints on it.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up some interesting questions, like about their conversion tactics.
Yeah, how they brought people into the faith.
Some of those methods, looking back, seem a bit forceful, ethically iffy.
Like when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi.
Oh, yeah. Praying, then bam, earthquake hits. Breaks their chains, scares the jailer half to death.
The guy thinks the world is ending, asks Paul and Silas how to be saved. Next thing you know, he's converting his whole family too.
Quite the scene. Was it a real conversion or just a reaction to fear? Hard to say.
Yeah, it's tricky. Judging them by our standards is too easy. Their culture was completely different.
Different times, different values.
Back in the Roman Empire, religion and politics were intertwined. Changing your faith was a huge deal. Socially and politically.
Made waves, for sure. Makes sense that they might get, well, a little aggressive in spreading the word.
It makes you think about how we view conversion today, though.
It does.
Where are the ethical lines drawn? Genuine persuasion versus pushing people too hard?
Tough question. Still debated within religious circles and outside of them.
The Book of Acts. It's a raw snapshot of early Christian missionary work.
It is. Really is. Provides amazing context for these discussions we're still having today.
All right. So we've talked miracles, conversions. Let's move on to another fascinating part.
Another part? What's that?
The Gentiles.
Ooh, interesting.
Bringing non-Jews into the early Christian community.
Yeah, that was a game changer for Christianity. It started as a Jewish sect, mostly Jewish followers.
But as it spread,
the big question popped up. Can Gentiles be Christians too?
Yeah.
And boy, did that spark some debate.
Huge debate. A lot of the traditional Jewish Christians resisted.
Big time. They believed Gentiles needed to convert to Judaism first. Then they could embrace Christianity. Double conversion.
And that struggle, it's right there in the story of Peter's vision.
Peter's vision.
He sees a sheet coming down from heaven, filled with animals considered unclean by Jewish law.
Unclean. Ooh.
A voice tells him to eat, but Peter's like, nope, never eaten anything unclean.
Understandable.
But the voice insists, saying God has made them clean.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Peter finally gets it. It's a message from God. Gentiles shouldn't be excluded.
Wow, that's a powerful image.
A turning point for Christianity's message of universal salvation.
It went beyond just Judaism. Embraced anyone who believed in Jesus.
It's an idea that still resonates today, that faith can cross any cultural or religious line.
It's a powerful concept. But even back then, accepting Gentiles wasn't easy.
Definitely not. It was gradual, full of tension, people arguing over how to do it.
You know, it reminds you that social change, even within a religion, it's never a clean, straight line.
Exactly. Bumps along the way, progress, then setbacks, people wrestling with new ideas, challenging old ways.
Makes you think.
Speaking of challenging norms,
yeah.
The way women are portrayed in Acts is something else we need to look at.
Ah, yes, the women of Acts. That's a whole other conversation. Yeah, it's a real head-scratcher, isn't it? You see these women doing things that were pretty unusual back then, but still stuck in that patriarchal system.
Totally. Like Lydia, this successful businesswoman, becomes a big deal in the early church in Philippi.
Lydia. Oh, yeah, she's great.
She's smart, capable, rich even. Hosts Paul and his crew at her place.
And don't forget Priscilla travels with Paul and her husband Aquila, actively involved in teaching and spreading the word.
They were a real power couple, huh?
You could say that. And sometimes she's even mentioned before her husband, which could mean she was the more prominent one in their ministry.
Really? Interesting.
It is.
So these women, they weren't just staying home like most back then. They were running businesses, traveling, teaching, even leading in some cases.
It's like they were pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, but then again, Acts still very much reflects the whole male-dominated society at the time.
Oh, absolutely. You rarely see women leading congregations or making big decisions about, like, theology.
Right. Their roles, even when they're important, usually revolve around their husbands or fathers.
It's true.
It's kind of like one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah. It's complicated. The text seems to be grappling with these evolving ideas about what women could do, but it can't quite shake off the old traditions.
And scholars today are still debating this, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still trying to figure out how to reconcile those seemingly progressive portrayals of women with the overall patriarchal framework.
Like, how do those two things exist side by side?
Right. And it reminds us that progress, especially social progress, it's rarely a smooth, straight line.
It's messy.
Messy is a good word for it. It's full of stops and starts, sometimes moving forward, sometimes backsliding. Even within one book, you see those conflicting ideas battling it out.
And you know what? It's kind of like the conversations we're still having about gender roles and equality, both in religious groups and in society as a whole.
It really is. We're still asking those same questions from way back in the first century.
Like, what kind of leadership roles are appropriate for women? How do we balance tradition with what we know now about equality?
Tough stuff. And the Book of Acts, with all its complexities when it comes to women, well, it gives us a really interesting historical lens to view those questions through.
It does. Okay, so we've covered a lot. Miracles, conversions, the Gentiles, how women are portrayed.
Lots to unpack in this book.
But there's one more biggie we got to tackle. Historical accuracy.
Ah, yes. That's where things get extra juicy for historians and biblical scholars.
Because Acts, well, it claims to be a historical record, right? Chronicling how the early church grew and expanded.
It does, but there are some things that don't quite line up when you compare it to other historical sources, even other parts of the New Testament itself.
Like what?
Like the timeline of Paul's journeys, for example. We mentioned that earlier. It doesn't always match up perfectly with what's in his own letters.
Right, right.
And scholars question other details too, like how accurate certain speeches are or the way specific historical figures are portrayed.
Makes you wonder.
Some folks say these discrepancies mean Acts was written more as a theological story, you know, to promote a certain view of Christianity rather than just a factual historical account.
But if we can't really trust that it's historically accurate, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of the whole book?
That's a good question, one that's been debated for ages. But here's the thing. Even if we say, okay, maybe Acts isn't totally accurate historically, it doesn't mean it's not valuable.
So how are we supposed to read it then? Ignore the parts that don't add up. Just focus on the main message.
I think it's more nuanced than that. We got to read Acts with our critical thinking caps on, knowing it was written in a specific historical context with a specific theological agenda. But at the same time, we can still appreciate it as a really powerful story, a story that tells us a lot about what those early Christians believed, what they struggled with, what they hoped for.
So we're like detectives.
Exactly. Piecing together the clues, comparing different versions of the story, trying to get as close to the truth as we can, even though we might never have the complete picture.
That actually sounds kind of fun.
It is. And that's what makes studying these old texts so fascinating. It's not about finding easy answers or just believing everything you read. It's about asking tough questions, being open to different interpretations.
And sometimes the questions just lead to more questions, right?
Exactly. And that's okay. It's all part of the journey.
Okay. So speaking of journeys, how about that crazy story of Paul's shipwreck on Malta?
Oh, yeah. The storm, the sinking ship, the miraculous survival. It's like something straight out of an adventure movie.
It's definitely one of the most exciting parts of Acts.
And there's a lot more to it than just the thrilling narrative. It highlights some important themes that run through the whole book.
Yeah, it really shows how resilient Paul was, how adaptable he could be.
He's like the ultimate survivor.
Seriously, facing that huge storm, the ship coming apart, everyone freaking out.
Yeah.
But Paul, calm as can be.
That's got to take some serious inner peace.
Right. And he doesn't just sit there. He actually comforts the crew, the passengers, tells them they're going to make it.
Wow. Talk about a faith boost in the midst of chaos.
And it's not just talk either. He pitches in, works with the crew to try and save the ship. He's not just passively waiting for a miracle.
So he's a man of action too, not just words.
Exactly. And when they finally reach Malta, well, Paul's resourcefulness is on full display. They're shipwrecked on a foreign island. But he doesn't miss a beat.
Nope. He connects with the locals, helps them out, even does some healing, gains their trust, even though they're from completely different cultures, speak different languages.
It's a great example of how, even when things are toughest, we can still connect with people, make a difference.
It really is. Speaks to that human capacity for compassion, for bouncing back, no matter what.
It also ties into that theme we see throughout Acts. Different cultures, different beliefs coming together.
Absolutely. The early Christians were always running into those situations as they spread their message.
And they had to learn to adapt, find common ground, build bridges with people from all kinds of backgrounds.
And that's a lesson we could all use today, right? Especially yes. With the world becoming more and more interconnected.
Big time. So as we wrap up this look at Acts through our secular lens, What are some key takeaways? What do you think?
For me, it's the reminder that even these ancient texts, the ones we often see as sacred, unchanging, we can examine them in fresh, insightful ways. We just need critical thinking, historical context.
So it's not about saying they're not religiously important. It's about understanding them better, asking questions, looking at different angles.
Right. Recognizing that these stories are complex.
And remembering the human side of it all. These were real people. Dealing with real problems, trying to make sense of their world and their faith.
And their stories can still teach us things today, even though they're from so long ago.
Exactly. So to everyone listening, don't be afraid to dig into these texts, even if you're not coming from a religious perspective. There's so much to learn, but you got to be open-minded, willing to think critically.
And remember, there's always more to discover, more questions to ask, new layers to uncover, new ways of seeing things. That's what makes exploring these ancient texts so exciting.
It's a never-ending journey.
It really is, and that's a good thing.